This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us now, a star of Fantasy Baseball Camp in the old Arrow Wilson League, Randy Sampson. How are you?
I am good, Mike. I was neither the star of the fantasy camp or the Arrow Wilson League, but I appreciate the intro. I have played in both, but and yes, it was a hot one. I saw you today, Mike, at the Zimmer.
Oh, were you there?
Mike Zimmer charity thing. Yeah, I saw you over there with the camera. I was going to come and say hi when I got done with lunch, and then I never saw you again, but that was a hot one.
Yeah, I got there, and I realized the media wasn't supposed to be there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, so they weren't trying to be mean-spirited about it. It was just that with COVID and everything, nobody knows what the rules are, right? So you don't want media and they're interacting with players, and, you know, nobody's defined the rules yet from the NFL, et cetera. So they had the Vikings camera out there, which was just great. The Vikings had a camera out there, and they sent it all to us, but I didn't get that memo, as they say. So
yes, I understand. Our friend Fish was on that.
Oh, yeah, Pat was all over it. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he got an interview with Mike Zimmer there that he fed to all the stations, with Greg Olson standing by his side. By the way, Randy Sampson's on the Shift Real Estate Hotline that he joins us now. You know, it was hot out there today, and we always ask this question when you're racing in the heat. What happens to the horses when it gets this hot?
Well, you know, this hot as it was today is still okay. When you get to 100 and, you know, maybe 105 heat index, you know, you start to have to have some hard thinking about whether you're going to be able to race or not. I mean, horses actually tolerate it better than people, but sure, you want to be safe. And so when you know, there is a point at which when you really get to a hot heat index that, you know, we deal with, there's a state veterinarian involved in the discussions and Canterbury people and the trainers. And fortunately, we've, you know, in the 27 years we've been doing this, I think we've only had a few days where we had to cancel because of heat. We also, you know, lightning is the one that stops any kind of sports event, as you know. But usually the heat, you know, especially with our mainly evening weight racing, you know, we're able to get the races in. But it is a concern.
Well, I mean, you know, as humans, I just think, you know, we can always jump in a swimming pool or a cold shower. Can you water them down with a hose kind of thing, an ice water? Do you do that often, or is that part of the, or doesn't their body react to that?
Yeah, I know that's exactly what they do, Mike. They, in the paddock, when they're saddling them up and getting ready to go out, they'll put a cold hose on them to cool them down. And after the race, if they're showing any signs of distress or heat, there's ice blankets and cold water hoses and, you know, ice buckets to try to dump on them to cool them off. And it does work very well. If you can get some cold, you know, get some cold on them, it'll normally take care of things without any kind of major problems.
For sure. Randy, what's it like to be back operating? And I guess now we're basically fully open, right, for everybody?
Yeah, that is right. That at this point, there are no, you know, state restrictions. And, you know, for some of our bigger days coming up, Father's Day and 3rd of July, when we always do a big fireworks extravaganza, you know, we're still trying to figure out whether we're going to be able to accommodate, the full crowd as in the past. Like a lot of restaurants and hospitality industry, we are struggling to hire back.
You are too. Huh? You're feeling that same pinch, huh?
Big time, big time. And so, you know, we are starting to look at it and saying maybe we need to limit the crowds to make sure that the people that do come, you know, have a good experience and don't, you know, we don't get overrun. So we're still feeling it out. You know, racetracks, you know, around the country have always had a, you know, more the merrier. You just keep letting people in.
Sure, like the State Fair and Disney World, yep.
Yeah, right, exactly. But at the stadiums and, you know, most events, you know, you have a capacity, and when you're at sellout, you sell out. And so with the, you know, with COVID, you know, people are a little more concerned about being in large crowds, and also with the help situation, we are looking at on some of these days probably, you know, having a sellout point, you know, trying to get people to buy tickets in advance and get to a sellout point. But for the most part, we're open for business and people can walk up. You know, there seems to be still a perception that started last year that you have to have reservations. If you don't have advance tickets, you can't get in. And, you know, and that's not the case.
Isn't there a lot of that going on right now, Randy? Where, I mean, people, I feel like we're like in a new phase. We're open, but we're not open because first we kind of got to re-educate everybody.
Yeah, that really is the case where everybody's feeling it out. And it went so fast, you know, as you know, from the restrictions to all of a sudden, you know, we're open and then there's no masks and everybody's trying to adjust and get people hired up and, you know, manage it. But you are right. It's we're all feeling out kind of what the right policies are. But again, on most days we've got plenty of room. People can walk up and it's just going to be some of our bigger premium days that, you know, there could be some capacity issues, but things are going well. The racing is good. The handle has been good. You know, we've got a full barn area this year and, you know, the full fields and handle, you know, we're getting like last year. You know, we talked, Mike, last year about how we went to weekday racing to try to maximize that out-of-state handle.
Yeah.
And we saw, you know, more than a doubling of our handle. And so this year we have adopted a, you know, kind of a modified schedule that, you know, we're still trying to figure out what's going to work best. But we certainly learned that those weekdays, they're not the greatest for, you know, filling the grandstand with fans, but they really are successful in getting out of state handle. So this year what we're doing is running Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and we've been seeing some big handle numbers on those days, and then Sunday. And Sunday's always been our family day. We've got lots of promotions coming up with the, you know, wiener dog races and camels and ostriches and, you know, unicorns and llamas and all of the
I mean, you got to have the wiener dogs and the llamas, or it's not a summer at Canterbury, right. You know?
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, so we're trying to, you know, continue to, you know, build on the success we've had with those Sunday family days, but also continue to get the handle on the weekdays. And so far, it's going very well.
What about Fridays and Saturdays?
That's a good question, Mike. Fridays and Saturdays, actually, you know, I mean, we are getting a lot of questions. Why aren't you racing now that there's no restrictions Fridays and Saturdays? And, you know, again, we're this is something that will, you know, sort itself out. We'll figure out what works. But right now our plan is to try to do some music events. You may have heard that the Sue McLean Associates that have done the Zoo Series for years, you know, a very successful music series, they, for a variety of reasons, mostly related to COVID, they weren't able to work with the zoo this year. And so we're working with them to do some concerts at Canterbury. And we're hoping to fill a lot of those Fridays and Saturdays later in the summer with some music events. So that's, you know, right now our plan is to race Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, hopefully get some concerts on Friday and Saturday, and then race again on Sunday. And Monday's the day most of us get off.
Gotcha. Now, you know, I was watching it, my own litmus test or focus group is church to see how comfortable people are without masks. And for better or worse, you know, I noticed that people were at about 60% masks in the winter, and then you know we started to see vaccinations and whatnot. And this last Sunday, I don't think I saw anybody with a mask on. The confidence obviously is there in an indoor facility, at least a church, that we don't need a mask and we're okay. Do you see that same thing at Canterbury?
Yeah, we sure do. I was surprised, you know. You know, I'm sure you experience the same thing, but for a while you feel like, you know, I'm coming out of my office and oops,
yep.
I got to get my mask.
Yep.
And it's like, oh no, I guess I don't. I'm vaccinated. I'm good. And you know, we're all you know adjusting. But I am surprised how quick things turned. You know, at Canterbury, in the card room where people are in closer proximity, there's still quite a few, you know, a reasonable percentage of the patrons. You know, and our employees wearing masks, but at live racing, you know, it was surprising how quickly people threw the masks aside and said, we're ready to get back to life as it was. We're outside. We're going to have a good time. We're going to drink beer. We're going to watch some races. And you know, it's a remarkably low percentage of people right now that are, you know, it's obviously optional. If you're not vaccinated, it's a good idea to keep the mask on. But anyway, it's a quite low percentage of people, similar to your church experience.
Well, the other thing is, though, I thought about this. I was watching one of those poker shows the other day. I saw it coming on. I thought, and they had masks on. I thought, you know, this ain't all bad for some of those guys sitting at a card table, is it? You put sunglasses on and a mask, it's pretty hard to read somebody.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. Yeah. But and there are more people. You know, we had in the card room, we put up plexiglass dividers. You know, it kind of created a little like phone booth for those of us, Mike, that remember phone booths.
But, yeah, they did exist at one time. Yep.
Yeah, kind of. But you know, we've now, with the restrictions off and social distancing, we've now been able to remove those, and things are getting very much back to normal. And card room businesses continued to come back strong, so that it's been positive. We're really, really excited about where things are going and getting back to normal. Our biggest problem is, you know, like I said, the help issue is something that all the hospitality businesses are dealing with, and we're working to try to staff up to where we can get to, you know, our level of customer service that people, you know, have come to expect from Canterbury.
Well, and you're competing against basically government checks, right? I mean, you're not competing against other. Well, you're competing against other industries because there's a smaller workforce out there to draw from. But if you were to sit with the governor or the lobby, what would you say? Because you know, this is about the third conversation I've had just today from someone like you saying, "Oh no, we can't go to full capacity yet because we can't support it."
Yeah, it's a real problem, and I don't. You know, we have had good communication with Steve Grove and the, you know, Department of, you know, Economic Development, and they, you know, they've been good about working with the, you know, the industries, and in particular the large venues. And but as you said, there, you know, the federal unemployment situation is problematic. I mean, we know that we have people that, you know, are content to be on unemployment and, you know, can make as much money as they can working. And so, the situation, again, it'll eventually sort itself out. And, you know, obviously wages are going up, which is, you know, you have to pay an appropriate wage to be able to, you know, be able to get help. And a lot of businesses like ours are adjusting, you know, and by realizing we've got to be competitive in the wage structure. And so it's sorting itself out, but right now, you know, as you said, you're competing against government checks, which isn't ideal.
Not for anybody. And if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna have a great country, etc. But the other day was the anniversary of Dark Star's death, and you and I have talked about him frequently over the years. Of course, since when you meet a character like that, and it's gone by quickly just since he passed away. I don't know if I've ever asked you this. How did you get the news when Dark passed? Because it was so sudden.
Yeah, it was interesting, Mike, that we were, you know, as you know, I mean, you were you're a scoop guy too, and have been very successful in your career, but Dark loved nothing more than the scoop, right? You
yeah.
know that if you know, and you know he had a few good ones with
yep.
the Twins, and liked to So we were, you know, it's a really ironic situation that we were at Mystic Lake working to sign the Mystic Lake deal, you know, 10 years ago, which has been a, you know, tremendous boost to horse racing. And we walked out of the meeting. Jeff Madej was with me. We were talking about the PR related to when we were ready to sign the agreement and make the public announcement. And part of the discussion was, what's Dark's role in this? That, you know, we you know that he wants to...
I know what he wanted it to be.
Yeah, he wants to break the story. We know that. We walked out, and Jeff got a call, and, you know, I could just see his face just turn white, and you know, he uttered a few comments that aren't fit for radio, and when he got off the phone, I said, what's wrong? And he said, Dark just passed away. And so anyway, that's how we found out, is we were actually, you know, talking about him and what his role might be in being able to talk about this Mystic Lake agreement. And but as you say, we all miss him. We've got, you know, the press box at Canterbury is like a shrine to Dark with pictures all over, and, you know, that we've renamed the press box the Dark Star Press Box, and, you know, he's with us every day that we're up there, and obviously he was a one-of-a-kind character.
Yep, and not every day was a good day with Dark, as you know, and I know, but yet every time since his passing, when I think of him, I smile, and that's all you can ask.
Yep. You're right. I agree. We both had our had our issues with the Dark Man, and there were some great moments.
Now they're funny, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Randy, we got to go, but thank you so much, and stay in touch, and always enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. If I can, 2 seconds more. Yeah. On July 6th, we're doing a celebration of life for Kurt, my dad. And
awesome.
And so I want to get the word out. It's open to the public. Hopefully,
because he passed during COVID, too. Yeah.
Right. We lost Kurt last summer and weren't able to do a proper memorial. And so we're going to be doing that on it. What would have been his 88th birthday on July 6th. And so hopefully we can do things right and give him a nice memorial service. But anyway, I appreciate the chance to be on the air with you tonight, Mike.
You bet. Thanks, Randy. Yeah, we'll talk hopefully before then at some point in time as well. His dad was quite a guy, boy. Pitching until he was in his 80s. Pitching amateur baseball.
In his 80s, yes, sir.
Thanks, Randy. Have a great night.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.